Today being Trinity Sunday, it is appropriate to talk about a relational God has a relationship with us, and particularly appropriate because part of this relational understanding that we have is that God is in community and is inviting us as a people to live in community with one another, and that is the abundance that we share as we go forth into the realm of God. So God is depicted in this tradition as being one with, not one separate from, but one with. And so we are invited to enter into the same kind of relationship both with ourselves and this community as well as with God. And so I want to spend a few minutes today talking in a particular relationship that we can have that is part of our exchange. But I want to look at the text also to help us look at and see where God is moving among us and with us. The book of Proverbs invites us to consider the wisdom of God that is at the very nature of the world in which we live and move and have our being. I sit often in a 12-step meeting, and we talk about connecting to some higher power that's greater than my own ego. And listening to this text here this morning, it reminds me of getting connected to something greater than myself. Created me, sustains me, however we want to talk about that. Created the earth, created the universe. But the Proverbs invite us to ponder a much deeper level of the world than my own ego can comprehend. And invites me into an experience of being one with the whole. One with God. One with the work of God. One with the realm of God at his being made known. Now I'm going to move to the particular relationship that I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about our relationship with money. Because in the realm of God, we have to practice our exchange with money. And money is a tool, a very important tool of our spiritual discipline. In fact, people like Richard Rohr and Henry Nouwen would say that the way in which we have a relationship with our money is the primary spiritual tool that most of us have in this kind of an economic world that you and I live in. So I'm going to ponder with you this morning some stuff about your relationship, my relationship, our relationship with money. The purpose is to wake us up, which is what good spiritual practice does. It wakes us up. We should not be hearing this as judgment. We should be hearing this as an opportunity to wake up to our relationship with, as the psalm talks about, our governor. So how much does God govern your checkbook? Jesus used to teach, where your treasure is, there is your heart. So when you go look at your spending habits and your value that you have in relationship to your money, where is your money being spent in relationship with God? Where is your money being spent in relationship with this community of St. Peter's in which we gather here to witness to the power of God in our lives and the relationship that we are having with God being expressed through this community? Jesus said there were things that I'm not going to tell you today because you cannot yet bear them. Some people regard money as a four-letter word that the church never talks about, even though it's spelt with five letters. That was a joke. Money is difficult because it really is a measure of who we are, isn't it? We can hear all we want that God is saying to us that we are worthy for who we are and what we are, and we are created to be children of God. But then we go home and we look at our paycheck and our worthiness gets questioned. Or we watch a television set that tells us that we should be able to buy anything we want, whenever we want, and we realize that we can't do that. Justin, who leads the meditation program here on Wednesday nights, talked a little bit about a scenario of where we are in our own culture. He said that beginning in the 20th century, there was a dramatic change in the way spirituality was practiced. Up until the 20th century, the human community basically looked for happiness within oneself. As Thomas Merton would talk about, looking for one's true self and overcoming one's false self. But beginning in the 20th century, because of our economic systems, we began to look for happiness outside of ourselves. It became the desires and the longings that we wanted to have. And we keep being told that we have to acquire this stuff in order to be happy. And that happiness is not something of a spiritual journey to discover who we are as the beloved one of the relational God who is constantly present with us to remind us about how much we are loved and cared for. Richard Rohr says it this way: all great spirituality is about letting go. But instead, we have made it into something about taking in, about attaining, about performing, about winning, about succeeding. Spirituality is about letting go. And probably letting go of our money is the most difficult thing we have, because that is truly, for many of us, the measure of who we see ourselves being. But we're here today to talk about letting go for God. What is God calling you into a relationship with? Is God calling you into a relationship with this community, St. Peter's? And what are you willing to give into this community of St. Peter's? Your money, your time, your talent. What is the relationship that God is calling you to be with your family? How do you model your relationship with God through money with your family? Do they know how much you value your relationship with God? Can they see it in the way that you practice your spiritual giving, your use of money? In all of the work that I have read lately about stewardship and being able to move people to giving, it constantly reminds me that when we ask people for money, we are actually asking them to be converted to Christ or to God. Effective stewardship campaigns are when we ask people to become converted to an alternative kingdom, as people talk about it, the alternative kingdom of God, who treats money very differently than the normal way that we would act out on the street. In God's world, generosity begets generosity. Gratitude begets gratitude, especially when it is rooted in relationships. That's why in the Christian understanding, God is so generous in giving his Son. And the generosity of the Son is so generous in giving us the Spirit. It's all the relationship that is divided between the Father who loves us so much that he creates, to the Son who he gives to us that we might renew our relationship, to the Spirit that constantly calls us back into that relationship. It's a very relational God. Now, many of us in the Western tradition have gotten tied up talking about God using nouns, and we really need to talk about God as verbs and actions. Love is an action. And as Paul reminds us in his writing today, what is the action of God? We rejoice in the sufferings of the world, knowing that suffering produces endurance. You are going to suffer as you practice a spirituality of money. It's going to challenge me as much as it challenges you to consider, what are we doing with the resources, the gifts that God has first given us? But if we endure in this practice, it will produce character. And character will produce hope. There's a vision that brought this place into being. That vision required financial resources and time and talent of its people to make it happen. And that vision is inviting you to join in continuing this vision to the next generation and the following generation. Hope in this vision that we have as a community living in relationship with God will not disappoint us, because God's love is poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which God has given to us. I'll close with a quote from Henry Nouwen. The real danger that facing us is to distrust our desire for communion or community. It is a God-given desire without which our lives lose their vitality and our hearts grow cold. Have a blessed Trinity Sunday and celebrate our relationships with the Divine One. Amen.